It's a little bit after 4 o'clock, and you are tuned to Katie and Kay. I am Will with the Soper Sun, bringing you everything under the sun. A little half-hour news segment with me or Megan Taggett, our reporter, and guests of the moment. And at the moment, there's really only one thing to talk about, and that is Jim Calloway, who passed away yesterday morning, somewhat unexpectedly. So with me in the studio, Corey Simpson of Thunder River Theater.
Hello.
Carrie Hauser of Colorado Mountain College.
Good afternoon.
Scott Gilbert of Habitat of the Roaring Fork Valley.
Afternoon, Will.
And I think we have some other guests potentially joining us. In the meantime, we're going to talk about Jim. And there's only so much that you can say in half an hour about somebody who is, as I imagine anybody listening probably knows, just a hugely influential figure in the Roaring Fork Valley, a supporter of too many causes to list, including, of course, the Soper Sun, and the organizations that we've got in front of us right now. So I'm going to invite each of you, just for a start, to share a memory of Jim Calloway. Corey, you want to go first?
Sure. So my best memory of Jim is that I think probably every time that I talked with him on the phone, his first question that he always asked me was, how is my little dog, which is a Chihuahua that we inherited from the organization CARE that he was obviously instrumental in starting. And that was really the information that he always wanted most from me. So I always appreciated that. He loved, as he called them, our little critters, I think more than anything I could ever say. So
That seems fair to me. And your dog is quite lovable, despite being a Chihuahua, I have to say.
She is very lovable, and actually we have a second dog from CARE as well.
Oh, boy.
We do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Carrie?
Sure. Certainly a very sad day in the Valley. We at Colorado Mountain College are really reflective of all the time and energy and goodwill that Jim gave to us. And, you know, I think as a memory, you know, I was supposed to have lunch at the poorhouse today with Jim. It was on my calendar. My little reminder came up about mid-morning, and still hard to sort of grasp that. And I think sort of, you know, lunch with Jim at the poorhouse was something really special. And my memories are I never ordered lunch. I just walked in and said, what are we having, Jim? And that was usually a splitsies of some sort. So to not be able to do that today was hard. And it was about 5 years ago, I think he was one of the very first people I lunched with when I first arrived at the college. And I it was literally probably about 5 years ago this week or so. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the first that was my first occasion with Jim. And as everyone else has had the Jim story unveiled to them over an occasion like that, I came to really appreciate everything that he meant to all of us in the Valley. And those memories will continue to pop up over the coming weeks and months, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Scott?
Well, I'll pick up both those. You know, Corey, it's funny, when Jim called, he always asked me, where are you? I never understood the significance of that question. And I always answered it literally, you know. And then I want to pick up Carrie's comment on lunch. You know, I was trying to think. I took a walk with my wife today and said, you know, what's sort of the quintessential Jim Calloway story that I could tell when Will asked me, tell your favorite story? That was pretty good, like the logical
good precognition
question, you know?
There, yeah.
And there's two ways to go, and I don't want to really go to the heavy side because I don't want to cry on the air. And but I will say it's kind of funny, you know, two things. One, I would often bring people on their first day with Habitat to have lunch with Jim, and it was really cool because he loved meeting younger people, and and they were just eventually realized how great that lunch was. They didn't grasp it at the moment because they didn't fully understand what he did in the Valley. But you know, one of the privileges on lunch with Jim every couple of weeks is hearing his jokes, the same jokes every couple of weeks. And he would tell them exactly the same way. And they were pretty funny the first time, the 17th, 18th, 23rd, they weren't. But it was funny. He told them. He just kind of smiled. And but if you, those that know, Jim was oftentimes on the edge of inappropriate. Even at graduation one time at CMC, it was like, oh, Jim, you didn't say that. But one that's sort of funny, they just told me within the past couple of weeks, and like he'd never heard the joke before, he said, you know, Scott, I went to the doctor the other day. I go, okay, Jim, I know this is going to be a joke. So I went to the doctor and I said, Doc, can you give me a prescription for a quarter of, you know, those pills? And the doctor said, excuse me? He says, yeah, I need a quarter-size Viagra pill. And the doctor said, Jim, with all due respect at your age, I'm not sure it's going to do much. He says, Doc, I'm just trying to find it so I can go pee. Carrie, I hope he didn't tell you that joke, did he?
Well, now
I
you've told the joke.
I can't believe you just told that joke. So
on air.
On air.
Bottom line is it's part of who Jim was. And, you know, and he was a great man. And he loved to really engage with people. And he was, you know, he never crossed the line of being, oh, my God, that's really horrible. But it was always kind of funny. And then he would have that Cheshire Cat grin. And, you know, so it's kind of fun. So anyhow, yeah, it's hard to comprehend. I thought of Jim as timeless. He talked many times about how his family had people lived over 100 years. And his grandmother had been like, survived seven generations. I wasn't always fully listening. And I just never thought Jim would go. In fact, I thought Jim would outlive me because he just had the sense that he's definitely going to be 100. But in the last couple of years, and even the last couple of months, he was really starting to struggle. So as weird as it sounds, I mean, I'm somewhat relieved for him and for Connie because he was not able to enjoy the things he used to enjoy. And the last thing I'll say, and if you might find that true, Carrie, but to turn to a serious note, the hardest thing for me and in my own personal reflection and in trying to understand someone at Jim's age is he was struggling so hard every day to be relevant. It's like, geez, Jim, you could just sit in your chair, talk to nobody. You are relevant. What you've done is so incredible. This valley will continue to celebrate what you've done for years. But for him, he wanted to keep doing more. And he just wanted to keep proving that he still had all of his skills that made all that money that he could give away. And it would be impossible to tell Jim to relax and not worry about it. But in a way, I think he was tired. You know, he was wearing mm-hmm. himself out. And, you know, who knows what actually happened physically or emotionally. But, you know, in my mind, you know, Jim's in a really good place right now. He was not in a great place recently. And so mm-hmm. I'm happy about that.
Well, and to your point, Scott, you say it seemed like he was timeless. And you also say he could have sat there and done nothing and still been hugely influential, and he's gonna be. His absence doesn't necessarily diminish that. Mm-hmm. So the timelessness is there. Carrie, you had said something kind of the same thing just a minute ago, before we got on the air, that it seemed like he was gonna outlive us.
You know, every time I saw him, I'd say, "How you doing, Jim?" And he'd say, "Oh, I'm blind, crippled, and you know, struggling through life." And my response was, "Well, you're going to outlive all of us. You know, you're pickled with really cheap, you know, table wine that you know drink by the gallon in the evenings on the porch with whoever will come and banter with you." So yeah, you know, I think to Scott's point, I think you always, even though you know that someone's at an advanced age, you know, this is somebody that you always sort of knew would be there. And I would say this is a day that he was really anxious about. He wanted to be remembered, and it's something he worked very hard at, is to have the day after he was no longer here for people to remember him in the way that I think many people are. And to drive through Carbondale today, I was just over at the Third Street Center. There's a big clean energy event going on, and I just thought what a poetic thing on the day after he's gone is, you know, a guy that made his millions in fossil fuels and oil and gas. There's a clean energy, you know, symposium at the Third Street Center in the room that bears his name. So it's a nice way of sort of remembering him. And I hope he's looking down from heaven and recognizing how much we're all appreciating what he did.
We're joined in the studio by a couple more folks, Wes from Colorado Animal Rescue, which we've already alluded to.
Hi, everybody.
Barbara Dills has actually been standing in the back the whole time of the Soper Sun board, and Jane Backrack of the Soper Sun.
Hi, everybody.
And everybody in here has the option of not speaking if they're a little overcome at a given moment. So, but Wes, what we've been talking about, I don't know if you were tuned in, is just sharing memories. So if you've got one of a recent one, an old one that you'd like to share of Jim, we'd love to hear it.
Absolutely. I was listening on air as I was trying to get here to join you guys. And it's impossible to sum up Jim in one story, but he liked to tell stories to share experiences about people. So I can tell you a couple about Jim that ring true in my memory right now. Jim loved visiting the shelter. He was so proud of Colorado Animal Rescue. Every time he came in, he would sit around the front desk and just make friends with the staff and chat with everyone and get to know everyone as best he could, but what he really was there for was to meet a dog or a cat. and every dog that came to see him seemed to know what he had done for them. I remember a giant mastiff named Bear who literally tried to climb into Jim's lap when he came to visit. Every dog wanted to be his friend and to cuddle him and receive his affection. And I think that sums up how all of us felt about Jim. We were lucky to get close to him and lucky to have his affection and attention.
You said you had two stories, so what's the other?
Oh, the other is, as Carrie was sharing, when I came to this area 3 years ago and took my job at CARE, I had to interview with Jim. The board of directors didn't have permission to hire me until I passed his interview. I remember being so fearful of this oil man from Texas who had given away millions of dollars. And I prepared for that interview and was most nervous about meeting him more than anyone else on the board of directors. Jim immediately made me feel at home and immediately calmed any concern I have about impressing him or being something that I wasn't. From that point forward, we were just very good friends.
And I think you can hear that everybody here, despite being, technically, I guess, a business relationship, a formal connection between an organization and a philanthropist, everybody here had a personal connection with Jim Calloway. And so this loss is not just a political one or a financial one, but a huge personal loss to an uncountable percentage of this area. Jane, Barbara, either of you have? Okay, Jane.
Okay, so I have only had a personal relationship with Jim for a long, 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 long time. And Jim Calloway is one of the kindest people I've ever known. And I had lunch with him once at the poorhouse, but I used to meet him at 5 o'clock on his porch, and we would have a glass of wine together. And we did this numerous times. And our initial connection, which continued over the years, was over animals, because he loves animals, which is why he started the shelter, CARE. And the first thing we would always do when I went over there is talk about his dog, Lacey, who he loved. And he would kiss her and I would hug her. And we just would chat about everything, but a lot of it was about animals, because he was just an animal lover. And I'm really, really, really going to miss Jim. And I don't have one story in particular. I just have so many stories. But I'm going to let Barbara speak. But I know we're all really going to miss him. So that's all I have to say now.
Well, this is Barbara. And I got to know Jim because of his love for the Soper Sun. And when I moved here 7 years ago, he was just kind of a name in the paper, and I was aware of his generosity to various organizations. And you know, there was occasionally undercurrents in the community about why does he have to put his name on everything. And what was really interesting to me, one of the things getting to know him better, was that he really, really believed that philanthropy was an important value, and no matter how much you could give, it was important to give. And he believed that people should put their name out there if they were generous as a way of inspiring other people to do the same or to do whatever they could. And so over time, I came to have such a different sense of his reasons for having his name on things. And I think it was much more inspirational than it was to than it was ego-based or because he wanted to be lauded or anything. So that was just one thing I wanted to say, that that I came to have a different sense of that. And he became a wonderful personal friend, as with everybody else here. It wasn't just about what he could do for the paper. It was a deep interest and concern about me and about who I was. And he loved to make a point that every time he met somebody the first time, he would always ask them, you know, about their marital status and and all of that. And so we had lots of jokes about that, because I myself am 66 and have never been married. So he thought that was hilarious. But anyway, my last time with Jim was just the Saturday after Thanksgiving, and he wanted to go visit my horse. And so he and Connie and I took a drive up to Skyline Ranch, and he fed my horse through the window apples and carrots, and just made him so happy. He just, as Jane said, he just loved all animals. And then we went to the poorhouse, and we split a sandwich. And anyway, we're just going to all miss him and also treasure every memory and moment that we had with him.
And Barbara made me think of this, so I just wanted to add it. He always asked how you were, how the other person was, and what's going on. He never, just went on about himself like a lot of people do. He was always concerned about everybody else that he was, you know, engaging with. And that's so true, Barbara. So I just wanted to add that too.
Yeah, for any of you out there listening who knew Jim by reputation and not personally, I guess I just have to assure you that he would have charmed the heck out of you. Every, curmudgeonly journalist who went thinking that you know, they were going head-to-head with this Texas oil man who needed his name on everything, found out within about 5 minutes that they were dealing with something completely different. This actually somehow ironically ended up being my last high noon at the poorhouse today anyway. It feels fitting, because I don't know how to do that without Jim. He was always there to greet me and tell me what he thought of this week's paper, for better or for worse. And, encourage me on what to eat as well. It's just not the same. And the last time I saw him was a week ago today. He told me to come over and see him sometime when Barbara did. And I told him I was just waiting for the invitation, which I guess ain't going to come. But, I appreciate that it's out there in the ether somewhere. I should let listeners know that this is, KD&K, commercial free since 1983. Underwriting on KD&K is an effective way to market your business. Reach your friends and neighbors in the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond with KD&K's reasonable underwriting packages. Email Greg at kdnk.org. You are listening to Everything Under the Sun with, at the moment, two staffers and a board member, but also just a wide array of folks from various organizations who have been touched by Jim Calloway. And this is technically a call-in show. If you have something you really must share, give us a call, 963-2976. But in the meantime, I'm going to open it back up. You guys have had a chance to hear what the son has to say. What has that brought up for you?
Again, this is Carrie from Colorado Mountain College. We talked a little bit earlier about names on buildings and such, and I would just say that I don't think Jim minded that at all. But I also would say Jane's comment about animals and Barbara's comments about animals. You know, he loved people as well. And, you know, a lot of times these, quote, buildings were vehicles to support people, whether it's the Third Street Center or the hospital or the college or Habitat or any of these structures that you see that might bear his name. And I will always say bear his and Connie's name. This was a powerful duo. I think without Connie, Jim would not have been as impactful. And it's important to for all of us as a small, tight-knit community to open up our arms and to support Connie and certainly Lacey. I imagine Lacey, his dog, is pretty lonely today. When the time comes, I know right now it's important for privacy to be respected. But I would just say one of the greatest joys Jim had was going to the hospital to have lunch with people at the hospital and going up to Colorado Mountain College Spring Valley campus that bears his name and sitting in the cafeteria and talking to Callaway scholars. And these are young people who, without his help, would never have had an opportunity to pursue a college education. And so the ripple effect over generations as a result of his generosity and the hundreds of students, young people and others, immigration status blind, need-based blind. There was no filter for Jim. He just wanted to help, and he wanted to help those that would have the greatest challenges to pursue their dreams. And many of them are thankful today by virtue of Jim's generosity. And those aren't buildings. Those are human people, and so great, again, legacy for Jim.
This is Corey again from Thunder River Theater Company, and obviously our building right in downtown Carbondale would never have been possible without his incredible generosity and Connie's, like you said. And at the same time, another thing that's really been on my mind this last day has been, outside of my role with that organization, I feel like every day my life was being touched in a different way by different organizations that Jim and Connie really have made possible. And one that I think we probably all can relate with because we're all in nonprofits is when you work in the nonprofit field, you really have access to so many people throughout our entire community, all up and down the valley, throughout Colorado even. And what kept striking me was as my network, my personal network, expanded over the last couple of years, cancer in particular is something that is so prevalent. And I really didn't know that personally until this position that I have now. And every single one of those people, I can say within the last year, I've known 16 people personally that have been treated at the cancer center. Mm-hmm. And so obviously, it's a very personal thing that he has done for the theater community here through our building, but so far beyond that, how he has touched lives for each of us personally through the work that we do. So anyway, we're going to miss him a lot.
To jump on the theme, I think Carrie is wanting to connect with people. You know, I'd sit at lunch with Jim, and somehow it came up that he'd had Martin Luther King sleep at his house. He'd had met with Dalai Lama, had a relationship with President Carter, and visits with Fidel Castro, and on the way out of the poorhouse, he stops and greets everyone at the bar, mm-hmm. and wants to get someone to carry him, you know, walk him out to the car. Mm-hmm. But for Jim, that was as much fun to talk to them as you can imagine having these incredible dignitaries in his life. You know, so he was really a people person, and I think, you know, some of the bad rub on this people resenting his name on things is people probably never met him, didn't understand him. There were a few men that knew him, but they were just jealous of the attention Jim got in the community. I used to joke, I called it the JOJ Club, the jealous of Jim, and I knew those guys, and they laughed. And they became marginalized because they really didn't care about the community. They just wanted attention for themselves. So it's ironic that Jim sort of got a bad rap because he didn't want attention. He just wanted to generate good things to mm-hmm. happen, and he figured, you know, me putting my stamp on there, you know, I give money to the soap's son because I got a letter on my desk, so I'm due again for my annual contribution. And Jim wrote the letter, and he signed it. How can you not do that? You know, mm-hmm. I did things I never would have done because Jim asked me. And, you know, I knew it was important to Jim, and, you know, it's a pretty powerful ask.
We've got about 3 minutes left here. Barbara, do you want to touch briefly just on Jim's impact on the son, since we've alluded to that a time or two?
Sure. So in part, thanks to Jane and Jane's close relationship with Jim. But, you know, he was somebody who wanted things to be self-sustaining and also wanted them to have a longevity here in the community. And he recognized, you know, what an important role both KD&K and the Soper Sun play just in knitting us together. Anyway, and so, you know, he brought to us the idea of, you know, starting a group of people or identifying a group of people who possibly could afford to support the paper in a larger way. And you'll see their names on the masthead on the paper each week. And anyway, he really helped us at a time when the paper was still on pretty wobbly legs. And I think just having someone like him, you know, just give his sort of stamp of love and commitment, it meant so much to us as a board, as we were sort of struggling to see whether this thing could actually have some longevity in the community. So, yeah, I think the paper is much better and stronger. We have a bigger staff, in part because he encouraged us to continue to think bigger and to not fold our wings when maybe things got tough. So that more than, you know, I mean, the funds are very, very important, and the support from the community broadly is incredibly important. But equally important is to know that those who read the paper really want to see it continue, and Jim gave us that in spades.
Thanks, Barbara. Any final thoughts from anyone?
This is Wes from CARE. I just wanted to add one other organization that Jim cared so much for was Two Rivers Unitarian Universalist Church. Jim was there every Sunday. I recently had the pleasure of hearing him sing Amazing Grace to the congregation. Again, this is a way that Jim really wanted to give back to people and was really connected to the people in our community who needed just support and friendship, and that's what he provided to the church.
Thank you all for joining me today, and thanks, Jim, for all you've done for the community, and onward through the fog.